I'm Ruby Redstone.
And I'm Lara Johnson-Wheeler.
And we want to invite you to get dressed with us.
Or at least think about getting dressed.
While we talk about getting dressed.
This is a transatlantic podcast about fashion, where we explore what it means to have a relationship with clothes, the issues both personal and political garments can raise, and our own ever-evolving philosophies of dress. Hi, Rue.
Hi, Lara.
How are you?
I'm really good. I have been absolutely wasting my brain away on this hot summer day watching the boating reality TV show Below Deck. How are you?
So many people have recommended Below Deck to me.
It's changed my life, Lara. My whole family has been watching it together, which is a really poor choice of a family activity, but it's obviously, we've had absolutely no drama after months in lockdown, and this is just filling a need for drama that I didn't even know I had.
Naturally. I watched the entirety of Selling Sunset, which really gave me thrills, and I've been on a deep Real Housewives bender, so I feel that completely.
Okay, good. So we're completely shameless here.
Yeah. I love reality TV to my core. Patrick and I, at the beginning of our relationship, had like a fight about reality TV, and then he came in the other day and was like, "Do you think I'm very British these days because I can now watch reality TV?"
Well, Gabriel also hates reality TV. He called it sinful and he refuses to participate in this family activity. But everyone has to waste their own time in different ways. So I don't judge him for his internet music forums, and he tries his best not to judge me for my Below Decking.
What are you bedecked in for Below Deck?
Oh my God, a wordplay. I am wearing a very cute outfit today, I must say. It's about 90 degrees in New York. It has been all week, which is my favorite weather for getting dressed, as we discussed in our summer episode. And today I'm wearing this dress by the Australian brand Daisy. It's a white dress that's sort of a fitted, it's very bodycon. It's a fitted corset all the way down with these little, what do you call it? Oh, like garter straps that hang off of it. And then it's got this big blousey top. I love it because everything from, I think this collection was from 2017, and it was inspired by what female victims wear in crappy horror movies. So everything is very
amazing.
Yeah, which maybe that's morbid, but it's like took these great like campy costumes and made them into really well-made pieces.
No, I can so picture them, the ones that you're wearing, the dress that you're wearing. It's got the eyelets all the way down. So it's a bodice buster. You could just rip it open and terrify someone with the tits underneath.
Maybe terrified by the lack thereof. I've also got a hair clip in my hair from best friend of the pod, Julia. And it's this seashell with a heart on it, which is just, you know, everything I love that she got for me. When she had a layover in Iceland. What are you wearing on this fine, fine day?
Well, as you know, I'm about to try to jet off somewhere, which means unfortunately, but also very happily, this is the last episode of our first season of Ruby and Lara Get Dressed.
Yes, this is our last episode before our summer holiday.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners. And the reason I bring that up is because my outfit today has definitely taken a sort of summery turn. Up top, Zoom ready, I am wearing an off-the-shoulder, sort of one-shoulder design Marcus Almeida top with one sleeve and a ruffle around the top that has an asymmetric hem in their signature frayed silk. And I actually did wear it on a Zoom call this morning with for a meeting, and someone said, "You look like you're going to a cocktail party," even though it was 9:30 in the morning. And I realized that it's so true, because this skirt also comes with a matching red skirt on the bottom, which I'm actually not wearing it with right now, but put together I look like the red flamenco emoji dancer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So, but not today. Because that skirt is amazing, but it's got a bit of a big slit, and I didn't want something that was quite so airy on the hoo-ha for my working day. So I'm wearing it with my like bright orange Izumiaki pleats, please skirt. That is great because it looks like a Grecian column.
Yeah, you look like a summery sunset today.
Yeah, I do. And I'm wearing a necklace that Patrick's mum gave me, which is very lovely little like choker style necklace with kind of embossed roses on the beads. And oh, and I'm wearing fun shoes. I just looked at my feet to check what's going on down there. And I'm wearing, actually, it's a really fun colour. They are sort of not quite orange, not quite red, a sort of coral, but coral pony hair clogs that are from the 2016 collaboration between Molly Goddard and Penelope Shilvers.
Ooh, cute. But also, do you wear shoes in your house?
Yeah, I hate, I mean, as I think, you know, I hate dirt on my feet. So, and I couldn't find my Birkenstocks. They're somewhere under something. I do like wearing shoes in my house, particularly when I'm working. Or like, bitch, I'm here to work.
No, I do get that. Really? Like, 1 week into lockdown, I think I got really irritated by like, I just didn't get to wear any shoes ever. But yeah. I'm such a germ freak that I can't, like my shoes come off outside the door pretty much.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I like to wear them inside too.
Speaking of our outfits, this reminds me, and you know, being the end of season one, we're wrapping things up here and we have some exciting news that season two will be back after our summer vacation in September, probably late September. And it will come along with a newsletter that will have photos of our outfits, shopping recommendations, all kinds of fun things tangential to the podcast.
Woo! I hope everyone's very excited for that. I'm very excited to put that together, particularly having accompanying outfits. Are you ready for me to announce the other exciting piece of news?
Oh, I'm so ready.
I win, Lara succeeds, winner, winner, chicken dinner, Ruby Redstone is moving to London. You heard me, witches and wizards.
Relocating
to all the witches and wizard sleeves out there, she's relocating.
That's right. We will be recording season two together in person, no more Zoom calls, real microphones, maybe even a soundproof room, and we'll be face-to-face, which is exciting for both our podcast and our personal lives.
So exciting for the pod and the personal. I can't wait because I know we're going to crack up with each other. We'll be on the same time zones and we'll definitely be drinking together, unlike me with my slightly sad, solitary three olive martini.
I know. Unfortunately, 3 p.m. here is just too early for a martini for me, but in just a few short weeks, we'll be drinking them together.
I can't wait.
In honor of this being our last episode of season one, we thought we would hear from you guys, our listeners, who have been so unbelievably supportive. I mean, I really don't know how we got blessed with a group of people who have listened to every single wild, weird episode that we've put out and sent us the most encouraging words. We started this thinking like, okay, maybe a handful of people will listen. And the amount of support we've gotten has just absolutely blown us away. And it's been so fun to create this new community of people who want to talk about fashion in a philosophical way, in a fun way, in a, you know, just in new ways with us.
So exciting to hear that people actually give a shit about getting dressed, like in the same way that we do. So yeah, thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah, we really are moved beyond words. And so without further ado, should we read some questions from our listeners that we've agreed to answer?
Yes. So the first question comes from at Violet Conroy, who actually used to be my intern, but who I now call a close friend. And she asks, why, Ruby and Lara, why do you like clothes?
Wow. That's a big question.
Start us off easy, have I?
Yeah, God, really. No, what is the word? I was going to use a sports metaphor. No, which is, I don't know. Never mind. But why do I like clothes? I mean, I think what's inherent to me about thinking about clothing and about style is I've always liked visual pursuits of any kind, you know, painting, drawing, curating, learning about art history, all of that, and fashion just to me seems the most natural avenue of those interests because it's something that applies to my everyday life and to everything that's going on in my mind at all times. So I was looking at TikTok the other day at all these great Gen Z girls on TikTok who make their own clothing. This one girl was like, you know, I think the relationship I have with outfits is just different from what most people have. Like, I find myself looking at my toaster and thinking that would make a great outfit. And first of all, I died laughing, but I was also like, I feel you. It's just my skin is so filtered through the lens of fashion and of clothing that I'm constantly just taking inspiration for clothing and for outfits from everything that's around me. And I don't, at this point, I don't think I could take those lenses off my eyes.
Keep those lenses on, baby Ruth. They're rose tinted and they look great. Okay, my answer. It's annoying because I was going to be like, this is so difficult. It's really not. I really totally know the answer to this question, Violet, you witch. The answer to this question for me is that I think I've probably talked about this a little on the podcast before, but it's basically about escape and crafting an identity. I've always liked the way that with clothes, I can choose exactly who the person I want to be is. And I think sometimes, and I'm sure lots of our listeners can relate to this, but potentially not in totally the same way as me. But I think sometimes growing up and not necessarily loving where you come from makes fashion very important to me because I like the idea that I can show where I am going and that I can show the things that I am interested in and I'm aware of and I'm conscious of without necessarily having to open my big mouth.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I feel the same way for anyone who's shy or for, you know, anyone who struggled to show parts of themselves or have lives that they can't attain in the moment. Clothing and dress is such an easy, maybe not easy, but such an interesting way to attain that.
It's also one way to think about who you are and to think about all of the things and the components that make you you and all of those parts of your personality that maybe you want to work on. I think that working on your wardrobe in a similar way can be really therapeutic, and I've definitely found that.
I totally agree. And then I'm just having one last thought that I'm always interested beyond clothing itself in having conversations about clothing because I think for so long, fashion has been pinned, one, as an art that's lesser than fine arts, you know, of what we see in museums, and because it's traditionally been considered a completely feminine pursuit and unacademic and frivolous. And I'm just really very deeply passionate about changing that discourse and about saying, you know, fashion is innate to human existence. We've had clothing pretty much for as long as we've had cognizant minds. And so these decisions we make about clothing are the same decisions that dictate what goes in a museum, what we see on the streets, what we see in architecture. It's all interconnected. And I really, very much want to continue the great work that other people are doing to elevate that conversation to something worthy of attention from all media sources, all genders, all types of people. I think it's just critical to our being.
Absolutely. Okay, here, Ru, I'm going to throw a question at you from handle at Baby Bloom Cuckoo.
Baby Bloom Magoo?
Oh, Baby Blue Mukgoo. Sorry, Baby Blue Mukgoo. I'm one martini down. Ru, any tips on resisting the urge to shop because you're bored?
Such a timely and topical question because I think coming out of a period when we all had nowhere to be but on the internet for months and months, there was a lot of temptation to shop online. And not a whole lot of funds in my case, and I think in many other cases as well, to do so. Also, just with changing conversations about who buys clothing, how clothing is made, shopping is changing so rapidly in our ideas about how to shop ethically and how to shop smartly in a financial way are really changing. But resisting the urge to shop because you're bored. One, I don't know if this is the right answer, but sometimes just window shopping is enough. Sometimes just scrolling through what's new on matches.com and getting a feel of what's out there, but not purchasing anything is a great, you know, just a stress release. Just do a little window shopping. And then secondly, what I do is if there's something that I'm coveting, really have my eye on, but don't want to spend money or don't feel like I'm in the position to buy something in that moment, I always think, is there a way that I can make this myself or recreate this piece for, say, less than $20? So if it's a necklace, can I bead it myself with a bead kit that I got from the craft store? If it's, you know, a beautiful nightgown style dress, can I go on Etsy and find like a $5 nightgown that would satisfy this urge? Or like, if it's a pair of jeans, do I have a pair of jeans in my closet that I can cut up or embroider or bleach to create this look? And that not only satisfies my urge to shop, but makes me feel, you know, resourceful and creative and ends up being a much better experience than buying something.
Totally. I'm a way less creative garment creator than you are. But I would definitely just give two tiny pieces of advice. My first one would be, if I see something online particularly that I know that I want, I won't buy it, but I will put it as a bookmark in my purchases folder, which sits at the top of my laptop. And then if I get, as a freelancer, if I get an invoice that is paid, the first thing I do is put my money in savings for tax. But the second thing I do is I look at my purchases list and I think about the quality of the work that I did. And I think about which purchase I feel like will kind of, if there's something that I feel like maybe matches to that. And more often than not, if I have worked really hard on something, I will buy myself something to kind of, you know, counteract that to make myself feel good. But it's also really nice knowing there's kind of this bank of things that every month I put into the folder that I might want to buy. And when I get the money to do it or I don't. The second thing that I'd say is kind of similar to what Rue said, is yeah, scroll around. But if there's something on Matches or Net-a-Porter or Browns or wherever, if there's somewhere on a luxury retail site that you see and you like, more often than not, the big labels are putting out kind of repeated looks from collections past, or they've been inspired by vintage looks. So I would always say head to eBay. And then the glory of eBay is, unless it's a buy it now piece and you can make an offer, you generally want to watch the item until the auction comes to an end. I always find that I watch so many things, and then auctions generally on eBay end on a Sunday night. And if you're home on a Sunday night, which like most people I think are, and you're on eBay, by that time, I think you will have like marinated enough on the piece of clothing that you've been watching to decide to what extent you really want it or not. I rarely, if ever, look at a piece of clothing, jewelry, clothes, whatever, and immediately purchase it. I love marinating.
Yeah, I completely agree. I never do the purchase list on my computer because I'm very black and white in my decisions. And it's for this reason that I'm still like hunting down stuff on eBay that I wanted when I was like 13, because I just know what I like and must have it. But eBay is great because you don't necessarily need to buy anything in the moment. I like to get a real feel of the market that's out there, do a little price research. And if you want to avoid shopping in general, sometimes I find that it's not necessarily the act of shopping, but I just want to look at beautiful clothes or beautiful imagery. Get a magazine, log on to an online magazine, and just like immerse yourself in that for an hour. You know, a little cup of tea, Love magazine. That's a perfect afternoon. It always makes me feel like I got a little fix of like consuming beautiful clothes.
Amen. Always with you.
Okay, I have a new question for you, Lara, and this one comes from at Danny Narens.
Hit me.
Curious about your all's input on feeling like you have nothing to wear or your wardrobe is stale. Or in terms of style evolution, we often evolve faster than can be reflected in our taste. I'm wondering your thoughts on ways to potentially combat this.
What a brilliant question. Okay, so I think we have to divide and conquer when it comes to this question, much like I would recommend one does with their wardrobe. Okay, so the feeling of what to wear, the feeling like you have nothing to wear in your wardrobe is stale. Should we try and deal with that one first?
Yeah.
Okay, so like I say, I think that is so like the eternal problem. I think the main thing that I could say, and this is not going to sound very interesting, but like mix everything up, pull out stuff and clash it. Like I've never worn this combination of clothes before that I'm wearing in my life. And I think that the only thing that I always try and do is like match a piece of clothing with something I've never matched it with before. I don't have a vast wardrobe. I get rid of stuff quite a lot. Either I'm like selling stuff or I'm giving stuff away to charity. So I think it's crucial to make sure that you're like constantly mixing and matching.
If you have like, say, a pile of clothes on your floor, like maybe you take off your outfit at the end of the day and just sort of toss it next to your bed. I'm just not, you know, speaking from personal experience here or anything. But sometimes that pile offers itself as a massive source of inspiration. If you're like, oh my God, I threw those socks there yesterday and then I threw this skirt and they actually look great together. That pile of clothes that you wear all the time can be mixed and matched ad nauseum. And I also think, I mean, obviously, this depends on your relationship with your closet, with your clothes. We're all working on this, trying to mentally break free from the cycle that we need to constantly have new things and that clothes get stale after rewearing them. Many of us sort of struggle with that idea of like, how do I maintain a relationship with this item of clothing? And I'm very big on that. Like, I find that I feel such compassion towards my clothing when I think about all the memories that I've made in it and all the places that I've gone wearing X, Y, and Z, you know, this dress, this pair of shoes. And also I think when things start to feel stale in your wardrobe, you can often work with what you have in a great way. Say like, hey, I own a bunch of, you know, maxi dresses and these no longer feel like me. I'm going to take them to the tailor and get them all shortened into midi dresses, or I'm going to turn some of them into top. That reworking just sort of gives you a new perspective on what you already have.
Look at the pieces of clothes in your wardrobe. Like, I'm not a Marie Kondo fiend or whatever, but look at the piece and think, what is it that I don't like anymore? Why do I think this item is stale? More often than not, I promise you, you'll be like, this was so cool. Why am I thinking that my wardrobe as a whole is stale? Look at your clothes, feel your clothes, blah, blah, blah. But if there is something and you're like, I can see why I don't love this, don't wear it, don't deal with it. Like Ruby does, dye it or amend it. Like, I'm more likely to do, take the element that you don't like off it. Try and see the potential in the clothes rather than the garments, what they actually are. And I think that's really the answer to the second part of your question, which is about style evolution and how we evolve faster than can be reflected in our taste. I think what you mean is how sometimes we want to posit a different kind of look than we feel is necessarily possible with the garments we have at hand. If I'm kind of interpreting that correctly. And I think that I find that quite often because lots of my clothes are quite kind of, I work with quite classical shapes in my clothes. Like I rarely will wear short hems or I have like quite specific fits to things that I like. And I think just the key thing for me with that is looking at color. And looking at print and pattern, if you don't feel like, and I've said this before with a specific body shape that I have, and you know what I got to work with under here, I will look at, yeah, I'll look at catwalks or, you know, fashion photography or film or art, and look at the kinds of colors and print and pattern that are really exciting me and see the ways that I can kind of use that in my wardrobe. It's gonna sound really stupid, apologies. But I got Disney Plus over lockdown, and for some reason, some of the colours that were in these Disney films, I kind of had forgotten about, these like very, very light baby blues that I have lots of like blue slip dresses and things like that, and quite luscious reds, mixing red and orange. Baby blue and red, these kind of colours that I kind of forgotten were possible and already in my wardrobe. And doing that kind of thing and swapping the pieces that I normally would put together, swapping those around, that was the most fun. Okay, question from @glutenfree303.
Amazing handle.
So glad you're answering this question before me because I cannot think. What is your all-time favourite item in your closet?
Okay, I have a few. I'm going to be corny and say my all-time favorite item in my closet is probably my wedding dress. I will say it is probably the only item of clothing I own that I've only worn one time, and I do very much intend to wear it again, but it has to be the right moment because it's just such a sacred piece to me. And also the shoes I wore at my wedding, which I wear every day. White Repetto Mary Janes with a 3-centimeter heel. They're my, like, if I were a cartoon character, those were the shoes. Those are the shoes that I would wear.
Well, and precisely. Like how in our cover art, those are the shoes that you're wearing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm wearing my Barbies.
Yes, those are our little, you know, avatar outfits. And so, so that I love. Plus, I have one dress in my wardrobe that's very special to me. I got it when I was 15, and I believe it's also a wedding dress. It's a white lace dress from the 20s, and I've just been wearing it, you know, since my early teen years, and I still love it now. I literally wore it just like 3 days ago. It's probably the most versatile item in my closet, and I just love that. At this point, it's over 100 years old, and every time I wear it, I think about how whoever owned it originally and most likely got married in it, I just feel like she would be happy to see it out on the streets of New York being worn in other joyful ways. So having that connection, a full century of memories in an item of clothing, just, you know, that really does it for me.
Ugh, you're so glorious and nostalgic. I'm really trying to think what mine is, but I'm going to be really honest. I think mine changes all the time. And I'm a fickle fashion friend. I do think my pink Tarby boots have a real soft spot in my heart, as drawn on for me by Ruby Redstone in my podcast avatar. As of right now, I can't think of one that like pulls at my heartstrings in the same way as Ruby's two wedding dresses. But what, listener, gluten-free 303, I'll keep thinking and I'll get back to you.
User Gold Black Andy said, what's a character in a book or movie that you identify with, style or personality?
Oh my God, such a good question.
Yeah.
We've spoken about my feelings. Obviously, I'm a bigger Jane Austen fan. We've spoken about my affiliation with Emma before, and I have strong feelings for Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice because of her quick wit and her ability to see the way that women express themselves through their clothes. If you want to do a close reading of Pride and Prejudice, I think you'll, any fashion lover will see that inherently in there.
Jane Austen was kind of secretly a fashiony bitch, like the line in Emma when Emma's making fun of the other girl at the ball and she's like, oh, well, I see you've done your hair differently for this, and her hair is like completely hideous.
No, Jane Austen also, I love the moments that she talks about the cut of a dress or the line, or, you know, it's obvious as well that that fashion plays a big role. But I've never spoken about this before on the podcast. I don't think I've spoken about this with you before, Rue, but there is one book slash series of books written by a true intellectual of our time, I believe. Her name is Cicely von Ziegesar.
Oh my God, yes.
And the series is the Gossip Girl series, which really taught me a lot about fashion and brands, particularly. Simply in the fact that it taught me a lot about the ways that in New York City, but also internationally, this is applicable, is the way that certain brands can create a hierarchy and how certain clothes that people wear can indicate status in a way that one might otherwise be unaware. So a character I identify with, not necessarily in style or personality, but a book slash movie that I find super interesting in terms of its societal conversation about fashion and luxury brands, Gossip Girl.
Can I tell you, my claim to fame is that Cecily von Ziegesar's nephew threw up on my prom dress.
I've never been more jealous of vomit in my life. What about you, Rue? Do you have a fabulous character in a book or a movie that you identify with?
Okay, well, one I don't think is going to be a surprise to you. My all-time favorite figure in history is Marie Antoinette, both the movie version and the real, actual beheaded, you know, figure from our history. I've always felt very deeply connected to her. I know that she is problematic in countless ways, but I just have this immense soft spot for her, and I'm just eternally fascinated by her story, and more recently by her cohort of dressmakers, specifically Rose Burton, who I've been learning about recently, who was her primary dressmaker and invented a lot of her hair pieces that she wore. And then in terms of literary characters, this one I think speaks mostly to my personality. I am obsessed with Harriet the Spy, the creation of children's book writer Louise Fitzhugh, and she's just nosy, know-it-all with a zest for life. Would you like to read our next question from at Lucid Dreams?
Yes, at Lucid underscore Dreams asks, how do I navigate wanting to feel attractive and loving my style that isolates me from peers? I would say that navigating wanting to feel attractive and loving your style has to come as one thing. If you love your own style, then you will feel attractive. And if that style is something that isolates you from your peers, then that's on them, to be honest. If that's something that makes you happy and makes you feel good, then why would you want to spend time with the people who don't appreciate that?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Obviously, feeling attractive and feeling pleased with yourself and your expression of yourself are completely interwoven. And also, I don't know who Lucid Dreams is, but I feel that you might be a bit younger than us and maybe struggling in a time in your life when it feels like you're the only person in your friend group who likes fashion, or you're the only person who's sort of trying to push boundaries. And one, amazing. The world will just open up for you and change in ways that you can't imagine. And it's fantastic that you feel like you want to be different from other people right now. But two, don't worry so much about feeling like your style is isolating you from your peers. If fashion is your hobby, the same way that other people have sports as their hobby or have travel different places from you or have interests that are tangential or completely opposite to your own, let it just be your side project in that way. Get a job, get an internship. You'll meet people there who recognize your style for what it is as an inherent part of you and as something interesting to talk about. But if for now it has to be something that you pursue in the confines of your own home or chat with people on the internet about, that's completely fine. That's how I felt for all of my teenage years. And then I was so lucky as I got older to fall in step and meet people who felt the same way.
That's such good advice, Ru, completely. I think also it's very easy for us as, you know, people who are working in fashion to forget that actually it's not very easy for people who are living in different parts of the world and different parts of these countries that we live in that maybe aren't as open or accepting as the places we live. But obviously, you know, do what you think makes yourself feel good. And yeah, on the side of feeling attractive, if you're talking about the kind of feeling attractive that is kind of inherent when it comes to, you know, sex and your own sexuality, those kind of things are all tied to the way you present yourself. And as long as you feel comfortable and confident and like you're really expressing the person that you want to be, then I think that's going to help you in the long run.
Yeah, and it sounds completely maybe cheesy and played out, but that's what you have to do. And don't let go of it for any reason. And anyone who makes you feel like you need to let go of that is not really your friend. So just hold tight to your convictions there.
Amen.
Okay, our final question, and it is a hard-hitting one. This is from at Astrology. Mm-hmm. How did you find your personal style? Where do you find style inspiration?
Again, I keep answering these questions in the same way because I'm always changing. My personal style is always, always, always changing. I don't think I've found it yet. You know what? I don't think I really want to find it. The best thing is that with every outfit that I put on every day, it's kind of an exciting step because it's like, ooh, what could I do next with that? And I think the thing about personal style is, like with the capsule wardrobe concept, like with this idea of, like, you know, defining what we do and what we wear, I think I've probably said this before, but the most fun thing about clothes is breaking those little rules that you set for yourself. Like I've said, oh, I don't wear this or I don't wear that, and finding the piece that makes you want to break those rules and makes you want to wear like a new silhouette or a new print or a new color or a new style. I think that's finding your personal boundaries, and that is really personal style.
Completely. I was nodding vigorously, which you can't see, but when you said that you don't want to find your personal style yet. Yes, I don't want to set anything off limits to myself. I want to have freedom to experiment, and maybe my personal style is just that I always wear something different. And I will say, on sort of the opposite side of that, I do feel like something that I've gotten comfortable with very recently is that it's fine to sort of just be a caricature of yourself. If you feel most confident in a silhouette, for me, you know, say puff sleeves, mini dress, flat shoes.
Exaggerate it. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And just go for that. And if that makes you feel good, even if it's not, you know, what you're seeing on the rest of Instagram or what you're seeing in magazines, like, that is your style. And there's nothing more beautiful and truly deeply stylish than someone who's wearing what they want to be wearing. And it's, you know, to be the, is it Amy Poehler who says, good for her, not for me? Have that attitude when you look at things, when you look at trends and when you look at clothes. Say, like, do I actually want this for myself, or is it just like something that I can appreciate the beauty of and I want to show off my taste in different ways? So, like, don't be afraid to say no to things, and you don't need to try every trend. But at the same time, you know, real catch 22, don't set too many boundaries for yourself, because you'll end up unhappy.
And then the thing about style inspiration, the conversations that Ruby and I have, I think, really inspire me. I think that the women that I work with really inspire me. I think that he's going to listen to this and it's going to boost his ego massively, but I think Patrick really inspires me. And I think it's the things I read and the things I watch. I don't think that I, like, ever go on Instagram and look at what other people are wearing and think, yeah, cool, that's really great. I, obviously, as a fashion journalist, I love to look at collections. I love to see what designers are making. I'm super inspired by new people who are coming up and using amazing new techniques. Always super inspired by, you know, vintage pieces and learning more about, particularly from Ruby, who has such an encyclopedic knowledge of styles and eras, but also, you know, designers and the vintage pieces that really shaped the world of fashion. So I think, long story short, at Astra _ology, I find style inspiration in everything that I see and do.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're giving the most sort of flimsy answers here. But like I said earlier, if you look at your toaster and think, God, that's gorgeous, that would make a great outfit, don't stop at anything until you've found a way to make that into an outfit. Try to have that filter on your eyes at all times, that you're just searching for beauty and looking for ways to replicate that beauty on yourself, because, you know, that's the most fun thing to do. And I would say the same as Lara. I try not to get too caught up in looking at other people, because I find that that usually makes me unhappy, save for there's some people on the internet who I find really inspiring and I always steal ideas from them. You can have a few of those, but I find that I get quite lost if I start perusing other people's style for ideas. I much prefer to draw from designers, from runway collections, because that's a very, like, cut and dry sort of way to say, like, here is design and I like X, Y, and Z about it, without getting caught up in, like, I like this person's body or they have really great hair, and like that really like clouds my vision.
I think what I was saying before is very, like, magazine copy, like, love yourself, love everything around you and blah blah blah, and that's not why we started this podcast. It's like to have really honest conversations about what we look at when it comes to fashion. And I think all I'm trying to say is exactly what Ruby's saying there, which is, like, often when you're looking at people on Instagram, they can be beautiful and stylish and look amazing, but it's not really the clothes or the style that I'm coveting. It's like, it's exactly that, it's like the space they're in or the lighting or the way that they manage to, like, position certain things. And, you know, Ruby and I have talked about the ways that lots of influencers in the fashion industry kind of, you know, market themselves and brand themselves, but don't necessarily, I think, have the best personal style or one that I would want to emulate. But it's all about that. And also, like, more power to them. It's about putting across what they're about and what they like and getting recognition for that. And I think that the only way to do that, if that's something that you are interested in doing, is being truly honest with yourself about what your own tastes are.
Yeah. And I think this applies even to finding your personal style. Sometimes that's something that can only be applied in retrospect. Maybe you look back at the end of the year and you're like, gosh, I bought 10 items of clothing this year and they were all, you know, speaking from personal experience here, they were all Victorian blouses. Like, I think I might want to be a Victorian woman. So maybe that's how you find your personal style. Maybe you collect a whole bunch of images and they're all like, oh, I actually want to be an all-American prepster who's also into psychedelic drugs, and I want to wear tie-dye and cable knit sweaters, and that's my thing. You know, be really broad and really rich in that search for inspiration and only narrow it down in retrospect. Open yourself up like a sponge to everything and then squeeze out what you feel most drawn to. And I think you cannot underestimate the value of sort of shaking up your environment, whether that's if you have the ability, which almost no one does right now, or the funds to travel somewhere, even if it's just to a different neighborhood from where you usually hang out. Or for example, the other day I was like, I really want to spend time in like 1920s French Riviera. So get yourself on Google Images and just go down a deep hole of inhabiting that headspace, of reading people's accounts, of looking at photographs, and you come out of it with like so much inspiration, and you're like, okay, today I'm going to do, I can't even think of the example what I ended up wearing after that. I don't think it was related at all to the French Riviera, but you know, it's, we have
something sparks you, like something weird will spark inside of you. Like I said, with my weird new Disney Plus thing, was like, it wasn't that I was dressing like a Disney princess, please don't get me wrong. It was something in just like the colors that Disney was using. It's like back in one of our first episodes when Ruby referenced the learning about the colors that Prada uses. Inherently, that's something that I've started doing in my dress. And I think it's these small things that we pick up on that we then slightly latch onto.
Yeah, and being into fashion or into style doesn't mean that you only consume style resources and fashion news as your media. Go out there. I find a ton of inspiration from food media, from, obviously I'm majorly into history, but from learning about different eras of history and just like, yeah, take all that in is my advice.
I mean, I dress the same as my kitchen color scheme.
Oh, interior design. We could even, oh my God. I mean, I did like a 2-hour mid-century couch spiral this morning. But
I have a feeling that by September, when we're living in the same city, Ruby and Lara get homey is going to be a thing too.
Oh my God, I can't wait, because boy, do I have some Pinterest boards to send you when we're done here.
Oh, I can't, I can't wait.
Okay, well, that wraps up our questions, and I know one of us, you, is eager to get off on a fabulous vacation.
That is true. Well, 2 more days, but I will be excited to get off on my vacation. I'm going to miss our listeners so much. And you too, Poobie Pedstone.
I know, LL Cool J. This has been the best experience. And I just, I'm so happy that we've done this. And I'm so, so grateful to everyone who's listened, who's shared, who's reached out. It's just filled my heart with joy. And I'm so excited to kind of start over again in September with a new way of recording and a new way of sort of spreading our ideas with our newsletter.
I can't wait to share the looks as well. And I think there are going to be some really fun looks after a month off. And for me, a month away from my laptop.
Oh, you deserve it.
I really certainly do. All right. Well, until September, my fine feathered friend.
Oh, I love you. I'll probably speak with you before then, I hope, but I'll speak to everyone else in September.